Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Please be seated. Is there ever a time where you may not show up here anymore? Simply saying this is not important, simply saying this is kind of pointless, maybe kind of useless. I don't necessarily believe anymore what it is that the church, the pastor, and the scriptures are teaching about. Believe it or not, I have had some parishioners in the past who have shown up after decades of church membership, and they have simply said, I'm done. I don't want to be at the church anymore. I haven't believed a lot of these things for years, and I've just been showing up to show up because my family's here. It's sort of expected of me. Have you ever maybe thought about that? Have you ever taken other priorities in life and made them above what it is that the church gives to all of us? What should you expect from the Christian faith? Health and prosperity, a good life, having all of your ducks nice and neatly and neat and in a row? We generally will ask, what's in all of this for me? And it's tough. It's very tough to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ today. We know what having faith means in the world that we live today. It's not very popular. We've seen rejection in the media. Maybe you've seen rejection from family members. Maybe you have some children or grandchildren, maybe a spouse who says, I grew up here, but I'm no longer going to be here. We've seen rejection from the community, rejection from family members, friends, maybe even your own home. And Jesus himself says that father will turn against son, mother against daughter, all on account of him. And if that wasn't bad enough, the church is under attack. Now, this is not something that is new. This is not something today that I'm going to fire you up like maybe your favorite news broadcast would say about the Christian faith and Christians being persecuted. Jesus said at our reading today that the disciples would be thrown out of the synagogues and that the people will even kill you on account of him. They're going to think that they're doing a service to God, protecting, quote-unquote, the church. Think of Saul, who would eventually become St. Paul. 2,000 years of church history show us that the Christian church has been completely against the grain, completely against the flow of the river of the world. And church history also shows us a warning that the church is under attack and that there will be those who will fall away, those who are even very close to you. There will be those who reject you. We don't have people aiming guns at us here today as we walk in here, although there are Christians around the world who do have that. But just because we don't have rifles or bombs thrown at our churches doesn't mean that we aren't under attack. Of the 12 apostles, 11 were martyred. St. John is the only one who dies, but even then he dies in exile. So why bring all of this up today? Why does Jesus take time to introduce the idea right before his own death? This is the third week that we've heard about all of the discourse in the upper room. Why does he speak over and over with the disciples about giving the Holy Spirit, about not falling away? It's very simple. So that you don't fall away. So that you don't fall away from this Christian faith and all of the blessings, benefits, life, and salvation that Jesus Christ gives to you. Jesus today says, do not fall away. That word there translated is skandalizete, which is the root word for being scandalized. He's saying today, be on guard, be on the lookout. The Holy Spirit will be given to you to guard you, to guide you, and to protect you, to keep you from being tripped up and knocked over and to fall flat out of your faith. He warns us over and over in the scriptures, what the Christian faith brings, what being a member of the Christian church is all about. Satan, the world, even myself and yourself will go against what Christ has given to us. To make this all be a place of scandal, not the way that the world thinks about scandals, but to make this a place that isn't relevant, maybe even offensive, in the wake of everything that the world is all about. Satan wants nothing more than to knock you down and to shatter your faith, even though no one can forcibly take you away from Jesus, who says, "Not one will be snatched out of my hand." But you can, and you have, and you will be tempted to fall away from the faith, to set it down, to walk away from it, and to simply say, "Enough." What should we expect from this Christian faith? Scriptures speak about some things that we don't always like to hear. I'm a sinner, and I need God's forgiveness. That's not very popular, even in mainline Christianity today. Even though mainline Christianity holds to the scriptures that say this, the acts of the flesh are obvious, sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's not very popular today, is it? Even though your heart knows that you've fallen into these sins, and my heart knows as well, the Holy Spirit convicts us as we hear the law of God. He reminds us, He wakes us up to this reality. But if you call something a sin today, if you speak against some sort of woke agenda, if you call life a true gift from God in the womb or at the very end of life, if you talk about marriage between a man and woman as being God's ordained gift, you might get dragged to court, or even worse. It's depressing. I know. I've been there with you. And we can sit here today and we can talk about the world being evil and everything outside of us being evil, and that we're somehow gathered in here together today and we're on the right track. We're on the right path. We've pulled up our religious bootstraps, so to say. But if it's a us versus them type of thing, this place can very easily get shifted and corrupted into a house of anger and disdain and judgment. Neither of these results are what Jesus wants from you. So hear him again. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. Third week in a row, we hear about the Holy Spirit. Next week is the fourth week as we celebrate Pentecost. We're going to have 8 confirmands brought forward to be confirmed and to receive their first communion. Thanks be to God. The Holy Spirit is at work in this place, even in the youngest of ones. They receive the Helper at their baptism. You receive the Helper at your holy baptism as well. And the Holy Spirit is given to you even today to fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of the faith. Ultimately, what you can expect from this Christian faith is to learn and to see and to understand and to grasp by faith that everything is in view in the light of Jesus Christ and his death and his resurrection for you. The Holy Spirit gives us Jesus-tinted glasses to see the world, to see one another, to see your own life. So what can you expect from this Christian faith? You've heard it before. But I've forgotten it at times, and so have you, and I have found myself stumbling and falling down in sin this week, and so have you. The Christian faith is this: that God himself comes to rescue and redeem all of you by becoming one of us, by living perfectly in our place, but also taking on all of our sin, even though he did not know any sin. He came to fulfill all righteousness by dying in your place and in my place, by taking up all of the punishment that I deserve and that you deserve, and by rising again to reestablish and to give you new life again with the Father. This is the truth. Jesus is the truth, the way, the truth, the life. And actually, that's the job of the Spirit, to keep you centered always on Jesus. Because when you are centered on Jesus, think of what he said last weekend. In the world, you will have tribulation. Out there, you'll have chaos, disorder, trouble, tribulation. But I have raised you up, and I have overcome the world, says Jesus. He himself is abused for his faithfulness. He is struck by a soldier for speaking the truth before the chief priests. He speaks the truth and suffers and calls out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," as he is dying. He rises. Those attacks, those insults, those rejections do not knock Jesus off the cross or cause him to stumble out of that empty tomb. All of those things will never take Jesus away from you. They never did. And all of the things that we face today will never take Jesus away from us. His eyes are always fixed on you. There is not a sinner that you will come across this week who isn't a sinner that Jesus hasn't died for. There isn't a sin that you will encounter this week that wasn't taken up by Christ on the cross already and crucified and forgiven and forgotten in God's sight. In this Christian faith, what you can expect is that Jesus still reigns, forgiveness still reigns, love still reigns, mercy still reigns, peace still reigns, hope still reigns for you. Because the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ towers over all of your sins and mine as well. And the Spirit is at work today and every day by the Word to keep you in Christ and his grace. The Spirit sees you baptized. You wake anew every day as a baptized child of God. You're going to sing that lovely hymn in just a few moments. God's own child, I gladly say it, I am baptized into Christ. The Spirit sees you baptized, and over and over and over again, all of the lies, the rejection of the world should point us to the fact that we do not want to be of the world. We, by faith, want to be with Christ. You are part of the family of God. You are an heir of everlasting salvation, a royal priest who will reign eternally with Christ. So what if people will not let you into their little club of the day? Politics, money, health, technology. You are baptized into Christ, and even more so, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Last Sunday we could say it. No, just kidding. What can you expect from the Christian faith? A new heart, just like Israel. Israel, as you heard today from Ezekiel, had profaned God's name. They were in exile. Ezekiel is not a very comforting book that you would want to read for your devotions. But in our reading today from Ezekiel 36, it is this marvelous text of where God calls his people. He works according to his power and for his name, but as he works for his name, he's working for his people. He's working for you. He calls them out of exile. He washes them. He gives them a new heart. And likewise, as you have been brought into this place, you have been called, gathered, and enlightened by God, who has restored his holy name and who has placed his name onto you. This Christian faith gives you a new heart. So take heart what Scripture says about your heart. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. What can you expect from this Christian faith? Jesus Christ and him crucified, risen from the dead. And in the meantime, you, dear friends, by building up yourselves in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourself in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Hallelujah! Christ is risen. To Christ alone be the glory forever and ever. Amen.